Good morning. Welcome to worship. It is good to be joining you once again, even virtually, as we look to our common bonds in our life together as church. I had a wonderful week spent with family and then came home with an unwanted hitchhiker in the form of COVID, which had knocked me down for a number of days. And while I believe I am back, and while of course the work of the church continues as always, I believe it is better for all of us to continue to worship in this way virtually to keep us as safe as possible. To that end, we will continue to worship virtually only through the end of January. That means at least for the next two Sundays. While my case was mild in comparison to many, it was still debilitating, and I know that I will feel its effects for a while, so please be patient and understanding if I move and act on the side of a great deal of caution for all of us. To that end, while this morning we celebrate Week of the Laity and all that means to this congregation and our denomination as a whole, I still believe that being separated from one another, at least physically, is the best gift that we can give one another in Christian love. If you have any concerns about that, or if you want to talk about it, feel free to call me on my cell or at the church office. Today we also celebrate Martin Luther King Sunday, tomorrow being the federal holiday in advance of the actual day of celebration. And we want to remember all that goes with that, the fight towards equality and the anti-racism efforts that the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, is a part of. A few prayer concerns. Joe Stofko let us know that he too has had a bout with COVID, is doing better, but we want to remember Joe in our prayers as well. We want to remember the hostages from Colleyville, Texas, all of whom were released unharmed after their ordeal overnight. And we want to remember all of those who are in the path of the storms that will be sweeping across the United States in all its various forms over the next 24 to 48 hours. This is Food Pantry Week. We will attempt to do our monthly pass out with as few people as possible. Prolonged contact with others being an issue for everyone. Please keep this ministry in your prayers, as food insecurities certainly are an issue here in Parma and around the world. Also, please remember that the work of the church continues 7 days a week, whether we are in the building or not. Please give as you are able to the financial needs of the church. Offerings and gifts may be dropped off to the church office or mailed to us. Also, please let me know of any prayer concerns or needs. My cell number is always available to you and is a good way to reach me wherever I am. With that, let us turn our hearts to God as we worship together. with me on a journey in faith. Bring your hopes and visions of a new possibility, for God's work among us is just beginning. We are called into a future yet unnamed. We hear the call of Jesus and venture forward, leaving behind our comfort zones and certainties as we travel light in the spirit of faith and expectation. We are led by the one who brings to light God's dreams for us and for the world. May we be witnesses to God's new tomorrow and go with confidence, knowing that we never travel alone. Let us pray. Almighty God, maker of all, with joy we give thanks for all your goodness. We praise you for the love which has created and sustained us to this day, and for the gift of your Christ, who brings us into covenant with you and with all your people of faith. Help us to treasure your gifts and to show our thankfulness by lives wholly given to your service. We pray for your church, whom you have redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus. Give it pastors and ministers filled with your spirit and strength to serve by the guidance of your word. Perfected in love and in compassion, and establish it in the faith of your saints. Unite all your people that one holy church may bear witness to you and your glory. We pray that you would move our nation toward the justice of your peace. Bless our national, state, and local leaders to serve all people with integrity. Purge from us all hatred and prejudice, and build within us your love, that even on our dealings with the other nations of earth, we may be servants of peace, truth, and justice. Bless our homes with the joy of your presence. Strengthen our covenants of family and of faith, that our children may grow into fullness of faith, and that together we may show forth your praise in our world through deeds and words of love and compassion, especially with those who are alone and lonely. Let your grace be seen in seed time and harvest, in labor and business and leisure and rest, in arts and culture of our people. May all who do work find fulfillment of their vocations, and all who are in need of work find the relief of new endeavors. Comfort those who sorrow and are in need, sickness or adversity. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in mourning, and to all give your peace. For these and all our prayers we bring to you in the name of Jesus our Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the second chapter of the Gospel of John, reading verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, And the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. There's a picture that's been circulating on social media for a while. It's been there off and on over the years. It's a picture of shelves at a grocery store filled with all kinds of wine. And overhead is the store's sign that clearly says water. Someone had taken a picture of it and added the caption, "Jesus was here." Jesus was here. A few days after Jesus had chosen four of his disciples, he went to a wedding along with them and his mother. He had left Nazareth to hear John preach and to be baptized, and John hailed Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was so enthusiastic about Jesus that two of his own disciples left him to follow Jesus. And now they were with him at this wedding. All was going well. Everyone was in high spirits, talking, laughing, carrying on as people do. And then a sour note was heard. The supply of wine had given out. Poor planning. More guests than expected. Who knows? But the party was about to die, and the family would be humiliated for not showing the correct hospitality. No wine at a party back then was like going to a dance without music. Mary told Jesus of the problem. She didn't ask him to do anything about it. She just stated the fact, "They're out of wine." But Jesus took it as a request, kind of like someone saying, "I can't get the lid off this pickle jar." It seemed to be a way of saying, "Do something about it." Jesus' reaction to his mother was rather negative, I think. "Don't tell me what to do." He was speaking to her, though, as her savior more than her son. He said his hour had not yet come, which meant, as it does throughout this gospel, that it wasn't yet time for him to go to the cross. So she simply told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus then directed the servants to do something that I'm sure seemed absolutely ridiculous. The need was for wine, but he ordered the servants to fill six large jars with water. And by the time the jars were carried to the party, the water was wine. And not just any wine, but the best wine. It's a great story, isn't it? And one which I think we tend to overanalyze in our attempts to make sense of the who and the what and the when and the where and the why and the how of this impossible thing, this miracle. In John's gospel, especially, the evangelist is saying that a sign is not a miracle meant to amaze or some kind of proof for Jesus' authority and teaching. The sign is a window through which God is being revealed. And to look only at the miracle and miss the revelation would be no more than curiosity and wallowing around in the unusual. For us, I believe this miracle story reveals Jesus in a wonderful way. It puts him right into our common life and in the midst of our human occasions. Jesus loved people, loved to be with them, loved them for their own sakes, and found joy in associating with them. We see him in the gospel accounts regularly attending feasts. He enjoyed them. It's difficult to understand how then, by looking at the life of Jesus, one can possibly think that by becoming Christian, by accepting Christ into one's life, you are somehow robbed of joy and gladness. But there are many who feel and live that way. On the contrary, by his presence at this wedding and his part in the feast, we have a demonstration of the claim that Jesus made, that he came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And for me, that's the important part of this story. Yes, it's the first miracle we can point to that Jesus did. Yes, we can argue about all those things that we've argued about over the centuries. But for me, the very simple idea that Jesus meets us where we are, that he comes to us in the ordinary parts of our day, in the celebrations of our days, and even in the sorrows, that's what I need to hear. That's what I need to realize and to live out. The who, what, when, and how really don't matter if Jesus is not present. Water or wine doesn't matter if Jesus is not present. Life lived abundantly is impossible without Jesus being present. And for me, that same idea transfers over to another feast, a memorial feast, remembering this one who has come to us in so many ways, remembering his life, his death, and his resurrection. What we share on Sunday mornings may be a small morsel, a small sip from a cup, but nothing makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up and my shoulders to stiffen more than when I hear any part of this feast called small. For it is not. Far from it. We are called to the feast, a celebration. It's big, it's huge. It's beyond my explanation, my mere words. We are called to be filled with the body and blood of Christ that we may become more like him and share that with the world. It's an intimate calling, a calling into his life, a calling of him into ours. And there is nothing, nothing small about it. It is body and blood. It is bread and wine. It is grain and fruit of the vine. It is there for you and for me, a life-giving and life-transforming feast given by our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if I had my way, I'd ban the term small in reference to this feast and to the church as well. The importance of this miracle cannot be underrated, just as this table cannot be underrated for our lives and for the world. Jesus, in the midst of our human life, is enhancing and heightening the values of life. He blesses those human things which make us rich: affection, friendship, neighborliness, love, laughter, marriage, family. He reinforces the affection and tenderness of life, and the hallmark of Jesus' handiwork is heightened joy. A young boy was once asked on a television variety show if he attended Sunday school. When he said he did, he was asked, "What are you learning?" And the boy replied, "Last week our lesson was about when Jesus went to a wedding and made water into wine." "And what did you learn from that story?" After thinking for a moment, the boy answered, "If you're having a wedding, make sure Jesus is there." What wisdom beyond a young boy's years. Make sure Jesus is there. At weddings, at meals, at worship, at studies, at funerals, at parties, at work, in all of life, in all we do, let us share in the revelation of God in Christ by showing the transforming power of His love in each of us and in our life together as individuals and as church. Let's make sure Jesus is always there and always here. Thanks be to God. Amen. To this table all who confess Him as Lord and seek to follow in His way. Come to this sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come not to receive a token of bread and cup, but to receive the feast of life given for you, for me, for all, that we might know that God has come to us, shared our common lot, and continues to invite us to join together as His people at the feast that has no end. We come to the table remembering how it was on the night when He was betrayed that Jesus took bread, and when He had blessed it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and eat of it, all of you, for this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the supper, He took a cup, and when He had given thanks for it, He gave it to His disciples and said, "Take and drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is given for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us, O God, as we are blessed with this bread and cup, the body and blood of Christ. that we might be strengthened and nourished to fulfill the calling which you have given to us and to the world. Remembering that the feast of life is not contained in human vessels, but is bigger than we can imagine, and invites us to life as we remember the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, who continues to guide us in our living. Amen. This is the bread of life. We share in the cup of salvation. We have gathered at God's table. May we also be more aware of the opportunity that is ours to share with others the many blessings that have been given to us. And now let us go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us this day and always. Amen. Thank you.